You're listening to 103.7 FM St. Catharines. I'm Chandra Ligatfalvi, and this is the fourth episode of Season 2 of Point of View. In this episode, we are talking with the only presidential candidate in the BUSU elections, Roland Ehrman, who's presently the Vice President of University Affairs. This is the last Vice President of University Affairs, as the position has been split between a new position, the Vice President of External Affairs, and the Vice President of Finance and Administration. So Roland is going to go on the record as the only presidential candidate and talk about a variety of topics, including the fed-up referendum suspension, ancillary fees, and some of his platform points in this election. Because he's the only candidate, it will be a yes or no vote for president. Voting has been taking place this week from the Tuesday to the Thursday, and Thursday at 9, voting concludes.
So I do support the programming levy. I really do believe that it will really increase our services outside of even event programming, because then that's more of a budget that we can use to better advocacy. My advocacy budget is $5,000 all year, and that is very, very small.
Another one of the executives who is running for a yes or no vote is Christopher Yent, running for the two-year position of the Board of Directors. Christopher Yent is someone who I've noticed is quite an influential figure in BUSU, both legislatively and charismatically. Yent We Can, hashtag experient, has been an effective and integral part of the legislative branch of the BUSU culture. Mr. Yent led the constitutional amendment in October of 2013, which saw petition quorum increase from 2% to 7%. He also spearheaded the creation of Bylaw 4200, the Referendum Implementation and Review Committee. To read more about Mr. Yent, someone who I found to be a fascinating figure, you can visit brockbug.com and search for the phrase Yent's Year, where there is a hypertext, rich media content, rich article about the policies that that Chris has championed and been largely successful in implementing. Again, he is running for a yes or no vote. The race for Vice President of University Affairs seems to have narrowed down to just the two, the third member not attending the third debates, and two members of council going head-to-head, Kevin Wilson and Drew Ursacki, both with very distinct platform positions. We have previously talked to Kevin Wilson on the program, and he had this to say about the Canadian Federation of Students.
So can you draw a distinction between CASA and CFS, the Canadian Federation of Students?
Yeah, the Canadian Federation of Students, I've watched some recent debates from them online, and one thing that they have pushed for a long time is free education for Canadians, basically, post-secondary education. I'm not too keen on that view, as I think it's a little bit more of a radical view. And if you go through the numbers, actually, Canada, I believe some studies showed this year, that Canada is one of the most educated countries in the world, if not the most educated country in the world in terms of the most people with at least bachelor degrees. If that is the case, and that is a true study, then realistically, Canadians do have access to post-secondary education. Things that CASA kind of more lean to, I can't particularly say because I haven't looked.
So do you mean the CFS?
No, CASA. I'm going back into CASA.
Okay,
now.
Yeah.
Realistically, I think that CASA has more views that are kind of similar to USA in terms of capping tuition at the rate of inflation to keep universities sustainable and still at the accessible level it is.
Point of View is looking for your point of view. Email povradiobrock@gmail.com. Visit us on facebook.com/povradio, twitter.com@povradio, and povradiobrock.tumblr.com. I'm Chandra Ligonfalvi. This is Point of View, and we are in the BUSU office on location at Brock University with BUSU's only presidential candidate for 2014, Roland Ehrman. Roland is the current vice president of university affairs and has been a Brock student for about 6 years. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
So, Roland, I wanted to talk to you about your platform. There's a variety of things that are on your platform, and a great deal of which, of course, you've presented, which can be viewed at brocktv.ca/live. So tell me about the Presidential Council. What does that mean, that you want to create a council of presidents? Tell me about that.
Yeah, so the idea has originally come through our lobby groups that I'm a part of this year, USA, the Ontario Undergraduate Student Alliance, and CASA, the Canadian Alliance of Student Associations. So at USA, what we have put in place is a presidential council. Normally, when I go on our conferences, it's the vice president of external of all the student unions, and they bring along the president as well. There's supposed to be a presidential council that is put in place. The idea is that the presidents will just get together, you know, and be able to talk about, you know, what issues they're facing this year as a school, you know, what kind of platform points they have that they want to accomplish, opportunity to talk about best practices as well. That council, though, has only really met once this year. What I wanted to do was I wanted to structure a couple of presidential councils, and it doesn't have to be related to USA and CASA. I'll certainly be reaching out to schools that are outside of those jurisdictions, but to create a provincial council of student union presidents. And again, we just talk about what issues we're facing as a school, you know, what our platform points are, opportunities to share best practices, and then to also do one on a federal level once a month, have a conference call with any student union presidents that would like to be a part of it, and again, have the same kind of discussions. Something that I've realized when I go to these conferences with Cooper, we are always sharing best practices, and we are always generating some really good ideas between each other, but the times that we meet are, you know, very slim. CAS only meets 4 times a year. We don't obviously get to have these discussions at full length or great detail. I thought having a structure that's put in place would not only benefit Brock, our student council, or our student union, but schools from across Canada as well. And I think it would be something that a lot of schools are really open to. It's been something that I've spoken to other student union presidents about, and they've been really open to that as well. I think, you know, there's lots of good ideas that are already in play by other student unions, and the chance to have those discussions back and forth and share some ideas would be really, really important.
When you talk about best practices at other organizations and within BUSU, what is the objective of those sorts of things? What are you trying to accomplish as BUSU? Is it focused in advocacy? Is it activity planning? What is the sort of primary benefit of coordinating with other institutions?
Well, that's the thing. It really could be any of those areas. So, for example, Cooper and I have had discussions with a bunch of the schools in Calgary, and they have a really interesting structure to their student council. They do things a little bit differently, and we're actually taking some steps probably in March to implement some of these changes that I think would really be for the betterment of student council. But I mean, it can go way beyond that. We have, I know we'll talk about it later, but the whole discussion of ancillary fees, and right now, you know, kind of a battle back and forth between students and the Brock administration. And this was just something that very offhand, a couple weeks ago, I was on the phone with a couple individuals on USA, and we were just having those discussions of how their student council and administration maybe aren't seeing eye to eye right now on some certain ancillary fees that are being proposed, and just ways around that, and ways that they've had discussions or their relationships that the student unions have with their own administration. It can go to event planning. I know 2 years ago when I was the event coordinator, I went to a conference, COCA. I just know the acronym right now, but it was in Whistler, BC, and I just remember having discussions with other event coordinators from other student unions, and just generating different ideas of how to do some events differently, and you know, that's also where the programming levy has come from, a lot of those discussions for year after year. So it can really be you know, across the board, perhaps as the creator of this presidential council, it'll be my job to create kind of topic-based discussions. So then we can really get to the heart of the matter, you know, keep things at student government, also maybe, you know, student events, and then student advocacy as well could be three kind of pillars of topics of discussion. It's really open-ended right now, but I think what would be really important is to have those conversations, see where it goes, and then kind of tweak it, tweak those discussions and those once-a-month meetings as we see fit.
When you mention some restructuring of council, what do you mean by that?
Yeah, well, I can. I don't know how it's what we're going to be doing in March will come into play, but I can talk about one of my other platform points, which is when I was elected to the Board of Trustees, I was set up with in a mentorship program. So I tell all my friends that aren't as involved in the student union or student government, you know, Board of Trustees manages the $284 million budget that the university has. Obviously, student council isn't $284 million, but we're in a direction where we're doing lots of work on the committee level now, right? And we're doing, we have, you know, one committee that's going to be doing teaching awards year after year after year. We have another committee now that's been created that will be oversight on ancillary fees, which will be very, very important. We have a committee that will be changing bylaws all the time. We have
Roland, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you. It's just during the debates, I saw that you mentioned the committee that oversees ancillary fees. This is bylaw 4200. Authored, you know, by the Legislative Affairs Committee and championed by Christopher Yent. Can you give me a bit of an update, just quickly? Has it met? Has it made any priorities? Has the first year of Bylaw 4200 made any progress in terms of reviewing ancillary fees? And what can we expect from it next year?
Yeah, I wouldn't, since I've been on leave, I'm unsure if they have met right now, but I do know having the structure there is going to be really important, and we're going to, what we can expect from it is this group will be meeting, you know, on a biweekly basis for sure. Mm-hmm. They will be heavy oversight into all ancillary fees that are put forward. There will be, you know, a lot, we want to try and gain a lot of accountability behind anything that's put forward, and then also anything that has already been put forward too. So I know this is going to really in March be kind of structured and put into place. It'll also be overseen by, you know, the BUSU president and by council as well. So I feel like kind of my answer is unfortunately a little vague right now, but within the next month I should really get a full understanding of what it's about, and I know Christian can also speak to that too. So
regarding ancillary fees, you were in an author of an USA paper about ancillary fees that was published in December. You can visit the USA website for the recent ancillary fees paper to see a 50-plus page document. Interestingly, that this document was recently quoted during the program fee referendum by the no side, Jason Tucker, who pointed to it saying that ancillary fees are on the increase and they're increasing at a disproportionate rate to the interest increases, the rate of interest and tuition increases. So how did you feel hearing that paper quoted in that fee, and how are you a champion of the programming fee despite being an author of that ancillary fees paper?
Yeah, that's a fair question. I'm totally cool with Jason Tucker using that quote. I was actually kind of humbled by it. I thought that was really cool that he read through that paper and you know, went into that detail. I think what's important is from me, I'm not against ancillary fees, and I know they are increasing. And when we're living in a world today where, you know, ancillary fees will be coming up and going forward. Yes, Brock does have one of the lowest ancillary fees out of all universities. That doesn't mean that you just need to keep adding more. But I think if there's a legitimate fee and there's a legitimate need, then I am all for it. I do support the programming levy in terms of that this has been discussed for numerous years. This is not something that has been put forward just over the past couple months. Like I said, a couple years ago, I was the event coordinator. This was discussed heavily at this time too. When I come in as an executive, it's such a different world than being outside as a student. And you really come in and you think there's a lot of money available, and you think that there's a lot of directions that that you can take programming and you can take advocacy, but you're really, really limited. You know, for my travel budget this year, obviously attending USENCAS conferences can be very expensive. And I'm not saying this as in like I'm a great guy or anything like that. Other VPUAs have done this as well, but I've put some of their travel expenses on their own personal budgets because we don't have necessarily the funds that are really available or the funds that some of the other schools have. So I do support the programming levy. I really do believe that it will really increase our services outside of even event programming, because then that's such a then that's more of a budget that we can use to better advocacy. My advocacy budget is $5,000 all year, and that is, you know, very, very small. That's something that we're able to make work right now, but it's something that we have a very unique advocacy department that other schools really speak to that they think is really good, and we can do a lot more work there if we're able to increase our budget even just by half of that. So I do support the programming levy. I do understand, obviously, the concern of increasing fees and increasing ancillary fees, and it is important to keep them low. BUSU hasn't asked for a new fee for a very long time. So I think, you know, as long as the oversight and there's thoughtfulness that's put into something, then I am still for it, because I don't think in the paper it reads that no new ancillary fee can go forward, and certainly we are in a time where, you know, every year there's going to be a discussion of a couple of new fees, and there probably will be some good ones, and there probably will be some that will be needed to be questioned as well, which we have the committee for at a BUSAC level now.
If you need help with your study skills, personal issues, or even to develop your leadership skills, the Student Development Center at Brock University is there to support you throughout your academic career. The Student Development Center is located on the fourth floor of the Shimon Tower. For assistance with Aboriginal student services, leadership workshops, learning skills, non-academic discipline, personal counseling, risk management, or services for students with disabilities, check out the SDC or visit their website at www.brocku.ca/SDC. The Brock University Student Development Center, supporting and promoting the present and future well-being of students.
Need a break from your studies? Looking for work experience? Then why not join the CFBU volunteer crew? It's wicked fun, and you can learn about the music industry while making new friends and developing skills. So if you need a diversion or just want to have some fun, find out how you can be a Brock Radio volunteer. Visit our website at cfbu.ca. CFBU 103.7 FM. Truly diverse radio.
This is 103.7 CFBU, Niagara.
Point of View with Shondor Ligatvolvi. For Brock's only political news talk show. And on the program, we cover campus and student politics both at Brock University and beyond.
We're back again with Roland Ehrman, the presidential candidate in the BUSU election, which is being voted on now through Brock University emails. Roland, you're the Vice President of University Affairs, and this year has been an interesting year for the relationship between the students, BUSU, and the university administration. I'm speaking, of course, specifically about the fed-up referendum. In December, a student-led petition was presented to council. BUSAC approved that referendum, and from there was an email that was sent which said that from the administration, which said that this fee cannot run at this time due to third-party ancillary fees, some liability issues. So can you help clarify what is the administration saying, and what can the student union do about it?
Yeah, so I can try and explain first off how things got here, and then if I'm unclear, you need me to elaborate more, you just let me know. So first off, I mean, I am always for anything that will benefit students, regardless if I agree with it or not. If it benefits students, then I'm all for it, and there are parts of the FedUp program that I think will really benefit students. We sat down in November with M about the FedUp program, and he did go to Brock administration and have some preliminary discussions. When the program came to BUSAC, I did ask, because I do work closely with Brock administration, and I felt this might happen. You know, right now the university was saying they were on board with everything, but you can always get a person or two extra involved. They look over the MOU, which they did, and then they weren't okay with some of the stuff that the MOU was presenting. So we sat down collectively, FedUp, Brock executives, Brock administration, and they went through the MOU and they said, you know, this can go, this is allowed, but this can't happen on campus, this can't happen on campus. And it was a lot of different no's that these situations could not happen and that the MOU would need to be revised in order to go forward. So we've had discussions back and forth with council. We've had discussions with Brock administration, and they have come forward right now and they said at this time, Brock administration would not collect the fee if it would be passed. And that also third party, they're looking into third parties and collecting money for ancillary fees at this time. That's their statement. Regardless of if council wants more of a statement or they feel like they are owed more of a statement, that's what's been said at this time. I think where I stand, I see parts of what Brock administration are saying in that BUSAC counselors wanted this to be solved right now already, right? Whereas when I deal with Brock administration, things don't move as quickly maybe as the average student would want them to. Unfortunately, Brock administration have plenty of other things to do as well, so they might not be able to come to a full agreement as to whether or not they will definitely collect it or they won't collect it, right? They've just said right now at this time that they won't. But I think what should be reasonable is that, you know, if we get into the end of March and we're still at the same standpoint where no further communication has been met between the administration and FedUp, then, I'd be a little disappointed by that. I had spoken at length at BUSAC that things don't move as quickly at the administrative level as we would like them to. I think what's also really important, what I would like to see is have, Brock administration come to BUSAC to kind of explain their reasoning. I don't know if that will happen, but that is something, a direction that I would like to see when they get more information and they're able to provide us with more information. So I really meant what I said at BUSAC. It's not that I'm not supportive of the FedUp fee, and it's not that I don't think the FedUp fee could potentially go to referendum. I think there's still some more work there to be done and some more discussions to be had between FedUp and the Brock administration, which I did try to set up and which we all as an executive team have tried to set up. And I do think we can move in that direction. I think what has happened right now is BUSAC counselors, and granted, I can see that side of things too. If I was a BUSAC counselor and not a BUSU executive, perhaps I would be, a little disappointed and feel like the university is, putting their foot down and not giving as much information as possible. But I really do feel like over the next month or two, we will have a better understanding and more clear elaboration on what they mean, if that answers your question. So,
So what about the survey? There was apparently a follow-up to the FedUp referendum when it was suspended. The proposal was made, let's ask the public what they feel about food issues. But then there was an answer received from the administration that there won't be an email survey. However, on the same day as elections began, as voting began this week, Brock University distributed a survey for a national survey to more than half of the students through Brock email. So is there a inconsistency between them telling BUSU, you can't do an extra survey, and allowing a national surveyor to use Brock email to do surveys?
Yeah, I wish I could give you a better answer at this point about that. I know when I'm back in office, I can. Unfortunately, what had happened in that whole situation that came up has been when I've been on leave, right? So I'm locked out of my email. I haven't had conversations with Brock administration on anything, you know, or even the executive team. I am aware that they said that question, the polling questions could not go, because I was prior to that on the Friday on that small group that Busack appointed, that we came up with those questions. So I really, you know, that is a question that I, hopefully next week, you know, I'll be able to answer in better detail. I can see, you know, I can see where you're coming from with that. I don't, again, really know necessarily the reasoning why the question couldn't go. I think this is me purely speculating right now, but it would be that it's again those questions, the poll questions about food prices and food availability on campus are directly tied to the theme of Fed Up, which I guess I would say that's the reason why the university at the time has said that those questions can't go. But I will look into the other questionnaire that the university sent out, and I'll try and be able to answer that as best I can for you when I'm back in office. So,
thank you, Roland. Let's conclude the interview by talking about the fact that you're the only presidential candidate in these BUSU elections. Yep. What does that mean? Is there a problem in terms of communications? That only a current executive is the only person who submitted a form, a package to become the next president. Is that a problem? And how is that the kind of what kind of policies will exist to prevent that problem in the future?
Yeah, I'll be honest and tell you, if you interviewed me 5 minutes after I found out I was the only person running, you know, I was a little disappointed, and I don't know if I would have been able to come up with a sentence or two behind that. You know, the opportunity is there for everybody to run. The opportunity, you know, it shouldn't scare anybody away that a current executive is running for a position. We've seen before that elections, people have, or an incumbent has run, and many other people have run against them. Something that, you know, I've kind of made an unofficial platform point is if I am elected to be BUSU president, I'm going to be spending a lot of time trying to promote the executive team and the executive elections. I think what's really important would be to, you know, in January, be out in the halls. We promote, we do a pretty good job in March promoting our jobs, our student coordinator positions. I think, well, you know, in January should be out there myself as BUSU president and really promoting the experience that you can get out of an executive position. I think that would be very, very important. I think I'm going to try and, if again I'm fortunate enough to be elected as president, spend a lot of my time promoting our AGMs and promoting, you know, I think we had already discussed doing a press conference once a month, which I'm more than open to. Anything that I can do to try and put my voice in and try and put our roles out there as well. I want to be the type of person that when I was a head resident at Brock, I went around to every door in my building. I introduced myself as a head resident. You know, on move-in day, I'll go around to every single court and village, every single building, introduce myself as the student union president, be very, very, you know, visual out there. But I think it's really important that, you know, I visualize and I push out there the elections process too, because I know there's been executive positions in the past that have been run unopposed. I would like to have competition for the elections period, but I will still always, and I think I've said this once elections started, I will still put in a full effort on my end. I would be disappointed if I was an outside student and I saw one person running and, you know, they didn't really have a platform, or they didn't answer the questions in the Brock press, or they didn't do a silly campaign video, or, you know, whatever's normally done in the executive elections is something that I will do and that I have done for the past 2 weeks. So I've always looked at it like that I am running against certain individuals, so that if I am elected in the office, at least people will say that, you know, I put in 100% and I went at it as best I could. So,
We've been talking with Roland Ehrman. Thanks so much for talking with us.
Hey, no problem. Anytime.
You are listening to Truly Diverse Radio, CFBU, 103.7 FM, St. Catharines.
Find our episode clips at facebook.com/POVradio or povradiobrock.tumblr.com.
Point of View with Sean Dorligatvolvi. Thursdays at 2 p.m. on CFBU 103.7 FM St. Catharines.